belabor the point, but I would have liked for you to have seen some of these things. Well, let's see. Well, I'm not finding it that easily as I thought I might to take you on this. And we're going to come back to it anyway. So maybe I can do it when we come back in the sun again. And I thought I would be able to find it. Okay. I apologize, and just look at you just for a moment here. First, let's just look at chapter 5, where we left off, and you can see a little bit of this as we work through it. I just want to show you an outline if we were going to study, and I want to do with Ephesians what we did with Galatians, but I want to do that with a couple other books too. But just to show you the broad outline as here in this part of Galatians, in our passage that we studied in chapter 5, being not drunk with, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what you have in the outline, if we were outlining the sentence structure and outlining the passage and showing you this, you'll see the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Just to give you some examples, look at verse 19, when you're coming off of being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. This is what's going to happen. It characterizes the spiritual life. It's just an aspect of singing and speaking and encouraging one another. Verse 20, these are results of the empowering ministry of the Spirit, if we were outlining the passage. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a result of being filled with the Spirit. Be subject to one another. Verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. These are things that are not mandated as though they were isolated from the context. They are coming off of verse 18. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the wives submitted, the husbands loving. Going through verse 33, nevertheless, let each individual among you love his own wife. Verse 30, chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That's the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. So if we were looking at this from the results of the Spirit-filled life and what happens when you're filled with the Spirit, those are some of the things that you would see in that respect. But let's move now to Romans chapter 8. And again, Romans chapter 8 is just one of those powerful, if not one of the three most powerful verses or chapters on the Spirit-filled life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is another essential chapter dealing with the Spirit-filled life and the New Covenant. And Romans chapter 8. You build up from Romans chapter 1 through 4, primarily gospel to unbelievers. Chapter 5 deals with the born-again believer. 5 on deals with the born-again believer. Chapter 7 of Romans is where Paul, as a born-again believer, still wants to live the new life. Not still, but it figures out that the way you're going to live the Spirit-filled life now is by the law, the old way. And so he tries to live by the law. And trying to live by the law, he sees at the end of chapter 7, if you'll note it, to chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man, I know O isn't there in the New American Standard, but it is in the King James, and that's where I memorize it, and that's where I love it. O wretched man that I am. In other words, he's not talking about himself as an unbeliever, people. He's talking about himself as the new man in Christ. But even though he is a believer, he sees the total helplessness of trying to do what he knows he ought to do. That's what the whole chapter is about. Trying to live the Christian life, the new life that we have now.